The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is October 16th, 2014, and we are sponsored by Fiorello Barbell Company here in upstate New York, where we're not the biggest, but we're the best. And our motto is, we don't try, we succeed, and we are also A for aggression. So, today we got a special guest on, Eric Gutman. He was on last week. If you hadn't heard of him or listened to anything that we did, you should do that. Very interesting conversation. This gentleman is an active duty naval officer who's been around and seen some things. And tonight we're going to talk about liver cleansing, which should be very interesting. This is a subject that Eric is very well versed on. And before we get into that, Eric, welcome to Motivation and Muscle. We're glad to have you again.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. For anyone that doesn't know you, just give us a little bit about yourself, you know, the website, et cetera, and we'll fire right into this subject.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'm an active duty naval officer. I was in naval aviation. Now I'm a foreign area officer, which is kind of the diplomatic corps of the Navy. But when I was flying overland Iraq, like I said in the last call, I had an experience which made me believe I was close to death. And in that moment, I really wanted to live. And what happened that from that moment on, I just really started to modify my life, you know, and invest the research in, you know, health, nutrition, and exercise, and what I call, you know, to live as long as I can, as best as I can. So, you know, if your life was going to be cut short at, you know, let's say 30, and then you realize you want to live, and you just keep the open cap, you want to live as long as I can, as long as I can live on this earth in good health, that's what I want to do. And that's really what I research and what my products come out for. Again, the website is www.ericgutman.com. And today, instead of focusing on the health, instead of focusing on the like nutrition or exercise or like the movement portion of it, which is very important, I'm going to talk about liver cleansing. I'm going to talk about what it is and how to do it.
And you know that's what we've been getting into so many of these great subjects. And I guess the first question is going to be, like anything, why? Well, I mean, you know, we know about the milk thistle and the other things that you can take. Why did you feel that this was going to be so beneficial for yourself, Eric?
You know, that's a good question, and I guess the answer was that I started doing it for somebody else. Like I've told you before, you know, my mother-in-law was diagnosed with liver cancer. And basically, we had a little meeting between my brother-in-law, my wife, and myself. And I was of the opinion that we fight. You know, we're going to fight this thing to the end. So what I started to do was I started to read all the Max Gershon books because they have a track history of defeating cancer through, you know, the vegetable juices, the fruit juices, by creating an alkaline environment, because cancer cannot exist in an alkaline environment. So the cancer needs an acidic environment to thrive on. That's how that diet piece works. And the other one, which was pretty funny, it was out of the norm. I was in a naval exercise, and it's called Panamax. It has 20 partner nations. And we had a Chilean admiral as one of the participants kind of overseeing maritime operations of this, you know, combined maritime force. This was when my mother-in-law was diagnosed, so I had the Max Gershon book on my table as I was working. And the Chilean admiral walks by and he says, "Whose book is this?" And I looked at him and said, "It's mine, sir." And he says, are you struggling with cancer? And I said, no. My mother-in-law is, and I'm reading this to help her. And then he kind of sat down with me in a very, you know, kind of fatherly tone. He says, you know, his wife went through some kidney trouble, and, you know, as a Chilean naval admiral, and you know, just, you know, the military is a pretty conservative institution anywhere you go.
Sure.
He kind of went the traditional, you know, Western doctor route, but nobody could help her. And it's like I was telling you, you know, regardless of your beliefs, when it's a loved one and they're not getting better, it doesn't matter how conservative or conventional you are. Mm-hmm. If it's about saving their life, you start thinking outside the box whenever, you know, the traditional treatment is not working. Specifically, his wife was healed with some kind of energy treatment, and it was a $15,000 machine. But then when I started to research what he was talking about, he explained it to me. He told me the name. I went to an energy medicine website, and in this one website that I happened to go to, it had like an assessment and analysis of the best energy medicine tools out there. And one of the ones that they were reviewing was what they thought was the best Zapper. And Zapper mm-hmm. is a tool that is used for liver cleansing. So I ordered this thing for my mother-in-law. Unfortunately, my mother-in-law passed away. And like I told you, I had this box basically in my desk. So I received this package. I got the e-books, some extra e-books explaining how this guy cured himself of Crohn's disease and multiple sclerosis using the Zapper and the liver cleansing, because everything else had failed him. So I wanted to hear his story. I wanted to read about what he did and his specific liver cleansing protocol. And after 3 months, you know, I forgot about it. But then I saw, what's this box doing here? Oh, that's right. It's the Zapper. And I thought it was kind of like it was my mother-in-law's parting gift. Because she knew I was into how do I live as long as I can, as best as I can. And I thought, well, this is her parting gift to me to add to my repertoire of things that I need to include. And I did it. So at this point, I've done 5 liver cleanses. Mm-hmm. The first 4, I would average about 80 stones per cleanse. And in this last one I did just this weekend, I was able to get out 110 stones. Also,
wow.
It's the first time that my wife did it with me.
Yep.
And I said, how many stones did you get out? She said, oh, I only got like 5 or 7, like the first time she went to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And then the second time she goes, it was 2 minutes. Good. It's something that I like to do, you know, every 3 to 4 months. Mm-hmm. I would like to do it more often, but again, you know, with my traveling schedule, I
sure.
make sure 4 to 2 times a year is good. And if you want to, I can explain to you the genesis of the liver cleanse itself.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But one thing I want to know, and I know people are probably, when they hear this, they're going to be saying, do I need to have a Zapper? That would be my first question to you, Eric, before we get into it. Do they need to have one of those to carry this out?
If you are healthy and you're doing yeah. this for maintenance, you do not need a Zapper.
Okay.
If you are battling a disease, you need yep. a Zapper.
Okay.
And
okay.
And I will explain that more. However, if you're serious about health,
mm-hmm.
I would recommend a Zapper. But here's the thing. Today is Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
You could do this weekend if you want. You could do this Saturday and Sunday if you wanted to without a Zapper, and you
yep.
would get stones out. Because if you order a Zapper today, you're not going to get it by
right.
Saturday. But that's a very good question. I've done 2 of my cleanses with the Zapper, my first one and this last one, and the middle 3 cleanses, I did them without a Zapper, and I got the stones out all the same.
Now, are you fasting this whole weekend when you're doing something like this?
You kind of are, and I'll explain that
okay.
step by step when I explain
okay.
how to.
Okay. Well, let's how to. Let's get right on this.
So I'm going to explain like the genesis so that you understand why it is the way it is.
Yep.
And again, this is a lot of this is extracted from the book called The Cure for All Diseases by Dr. Hulda Clark. Dr. Clark was the biggest proponent of the liver cleansing, and she had a huge track record of success, especially in the late 80s and the early 90s. And she's basically the one who made this thing known to the world. And yep. Very noble of her, she refused to patent the Zapper because she felt that everybody should be able to own this. In the book, which, by the way, there's a complete PDF on the book in my article at ericgutman.com on liver cleansing, which hopefully you can put a link, but if not, it's easy to reference. So you can get access to the whole 637 pages where she actually tells you how to build a Zapper if you're one of those electronically inclined persons. She said you can walk into Radio Shack and get the parts and build it yourself. I, however, yep. My time, is limited, so I need to be very wise with it. So I opted to buy the Ultimate Zapper because, A, there was a site that analyzed a bunch of Zappers and said it was the best, and, B, because that way I could just focus on doing the cleanse. But with this lady, her main theory, and she cured or greatly improved a lot of so-called incurable diseases according to Western medicine. Her main theory is that in all the people she's treated and helped, she says there's two health problems. She yep. calls them pollutants and parasites. She says the way that you deal with the parasites is via zapping. I'm going to explain zapping and why. And she says the way you get rid of pollution is by avoiding it, and that you do through your diet and lifestyle products. So she says you have to eliminate a lot of so-called lifestyle products because they have a lot of toxic chemicals like benzene or the isopropyl alcohols. And if you put this stuff on your body on a consistent basis, you're creating the gateway for the cancer to come through or for the parasite to then lodge itself in one of your organs and then, overcharge your body's capability to deal with it. Now, I like it because it resonates with something I read from Dr. Mark Hyman. Now, Mark Hyman was a traditional doctor, and he went to China on a trip with 10 doctors, and they were in the same place, but Dr. Hyman is the one who happens to get sick with mercury poisoning. So he's in a hospital now, and his 9 other doctor friends were fine. So he realized that we're all different into what we respond to toxicity. But he basically, his theory that the two causes of disease are either there's an excess of toxic material in your body or you have a mm-hmm. nutritional deficiency. And again, with nutritional deficiency, we talked about how, like the RDA, so vitamin C, they came up with 60 milligrams of vitamin C. Where did that come from? Well, because sailors back in the day, they got on those ships and there was no fresh fruits or anything. They were eating like stale stuff and like alcohol and rum, right? Stale bread and alcohol. And that vitamin C deficiency created scurvy. And after that, what they started to do is started to pack a lot of limes into the voyages of these, when they were sailing on sail ships. And that's why a lot of sailors were called limeys back then, because of all the limes that were on the ship to get them their vitamin C to avoid scurvy. Now, the nutritional deficiency theory states that, the RDA is the minimum that you need to prevent a disease that's noticeable right away, like scurvy. Yep. But I believe, and I concur with his assessment, that the problem is that those RDAs are way too low for optimum health and performance, especially if you're an athlete. So mm-hmm. when the body needs calcium or vitamin C or magnesium or any mineral to create a metabolic process, it's going to get it. So if you do not have that from your food, it's going to basically steal it from either your organ tissues, from your bones, from your muscles, and it's going to basically pilfer the body to get the minerals it needs to do the metabolic process it needs to do today. So what, going back to Dr. Clark, as she is looking at ways to address people's needs, she got into electronics, and she was studying the radio frequency of things, and she was basically looking at the Hertz frequency, and she discovered that everything has a very unique frequency. And for example, she realized that parasites, which she credits with being one of the main causes of diseases in humans, resonate at 432,000 Hertz. But humans, on the other hand, the range starts at 1,520,000 Hertz, and it goes all the way to 9,460,000 Hertz. Now, the 9 million, interestingly enough, that's the range of a human infant, which means that as people grow older, allegedly, their frequency will go down, which kind of makes sense with all these things that you hear about raising your vibration, raising your frequency of vibration. It resonates with me because that means, yeah, exactly. I want to get back to that higher live state, which is, you know, in the 9 million hertz frequency. However, she realized that if you find the resonant frequency of whatever pathogen is bothering you, you attack it by running a current that is resonant to that frequency, then you basically are able to either kill it or weaken it, and then that's how people are getting healed. Now, here's an interesting thing about humans and the world we live in. AM radio, the broadcasts are from 540,000 hertz to 1,600,000 hertz. So on AM radio frequencies, there's a very, very slight overlap between the human range. Now, FM radio is from 88 million to 108 million hertz, which is way above the human range, so it does not create any issues with humans. However, what she found is if you can zap in the range of the pathogen or in an octave, then you could kill it or disable it. And what she came up with is that if you do three treatments of 7 minutes with sufficient voltage, which for her meant 5 to 10 volts, and that is why you'll see that most zappers either run on a 9-volt battery or they'll have an AC adapter that runs at 10 volts, and the frequency is from 10 hertz to 500,000 hertz, which again, the top end of parasites was 432. So anything from 10 to 500 hertz with 5 to 10 volts for 7 minutes will start either killing or weakening the pathogen. But she said it's very important to do it three times. And it was very interesting. She said when you do the first round of running this current through your body, it's going to kill the parasites, the bacteria, and the viruses in your body. Then you wait 20 minutes and you run the electric current again, and again, you don't feel this. And at that point, all the parasites are gone, but the bacteria and viruses are still active. And then you take another 20-minute break, and then you run the third time, and in the third time, you kill any remaining viruses. And what she was saying is that, let's say the parasite, let's say it's a fluke worm or something like that, it will serve as kind of like the protective shield for the viruses and bacteria that are inside it. So when you do the first run, you kill the unprotected viruses and bacteria and the parasites, but by bursting the parasite open, now these bacteria and viruses that were inside the parasite are now out on your bloodstream. So that's when you did the second run, you were able to kill most of the bacteria. And then apparently the viruses were the harder to kill. And then when you did the third run, that's when you got rid of the viruses. And her point being that when you actually got rid of all the pathogens, that's when people started to feel better because these pathogens then were not weakening the body. And then the second step, of course, would be to conduct the liver cleanse to remove the toxicity and these pathogens out of the body. So now here's some interesting stuff, though. So the zapper, again, runs an electric current through your body, but it does not reach the eyeball, the testicles, or the bowels, and it also does not reach the gallstones. However, the interior of the gallstones usually can house parasites, and while even though this is inaccessible to zapping, when you do the liver cleansing, you flush them out of your body. So that's the other way to get rid of these little critters. So an important thing is when you do a liver cleanse, the day you do the cleanse has to be a low-stress day. Kind of, you know, it's sit home and watch movies and do nothing day,
right.
And the day after as well. And here's some interesting things that she mentions. You know, she's talking about, I think she's a little bit paranoid, but I think it's because everybody's different to what they react to. But she tells everything that could be considered a pollution. One thing that was interesting is what she calls metallic pollution. So she says, you know, raw minerals actually have organic minerals that your body uses. So the copper that you get from meat and vegetables, your body actually uses it. But the inorganic copper that you might absorb from cooking in a kettle or from copper plumbing is actually carcinogenic. So that copper gets into your system, it's carcinogenic, but the copper that you get from food is the one you absorb. And that's why she says you have to be very careful about your diet and lifestyle to remove the pollutants. Another thing that's very interesting, and this is something that maybe somebody else can benefit from it, I know, like, for a while it was this whole rage about, oh, the mercury in your, like, tooth fillings. No, the mercury in the
fillings, yeah. Yep.
So I when I was 16 years old, I had a caries, and they filled it with the mercury amalgam, right? And I always thought, like, you know, you see the overweight people going, oh, that's it. I need to get rid of the mercury. That's what the cause of everything. And to me, that's like the last thing. It's like, look, when you fix your diet and when you fix your exercise and when you actually lose the weight, then you can worry about the mercury. Like, honestly, if that's your first item, it means you don't want to address the real issue.
Yep.
But here's the interesting thing. I've read the book. I've done my – I just did my liver cleanse. I'm in the military. I'm active duty military. So right now I am in Miami, and we don't have like in most naval bases the dental facility on site. What they do is that we have we're actually given kind of like a control number, and we go to a civilian dentist. So I go to my civilian dentist for my once-a-year dental checkup. And here's where the power of having knowledge and asking the right questions is useful. I go to her as she's cleaning my teeth, and she has an X-ray where you can see my the mercury amalgam. And I asked her, you know, I said basically very respectful, and I said, hey, as you know, I am an active duty naval officer, and I wanted to know if you're authorized under my existing coverage to change my mercury filling for a Flexite one. Mm-hmm. And she kind of stops and she looks at me and she says, you know, you asked a very technical question in a very legal way. And and she says, and the answer is yes.
Oh, great.
Because it's basically kind of like if you had a caries, right? If you had like a dental caries, yeah. And that's how, because they don't use mercury anymore. So all they did is like, yeah, wait 1 minute, let me talk to the dentist. Yeah, we can do it right now. They chipped thing in, and they just put in the white stuff in, and it was completely covered. And it's amazing because, you know, back in the day when this book came out in the 1990s, you had to find like a special dentist that would do it. And it would be thousands of dollars. And again, if you have a dental plan, it doesn't hurt to ask, you know, your dentist for whenever you do your yearly checkup, if you have mercury in your mouth, and say, doctor, I wanted to know if my dental coverage authorizes you to remove a mercury amalgam for a Flexite one. And maybe they don't have Flexite, but, you know, it'll be one of the healthy ones. And you'll be surprised how that's covered today, because nobody is no longer using the mercury. So this is a good thing in the sense that you read all these books from the 1990s, and people were basically shelling out $3,000 to $4,000 to do this. But now the dental profession is like, nobody uses mercury. That's toxic. And you go, I know. So they're more than happy to remove it for and put in the plastic, the Flexite or the ceramic. Anyway, getting back to the so that's one of the things she calls metallic pollution. So let me get back here because I had this little outline for you.
Okay.
The benefit or the beauty about the liver cleanse is that it's truly – honestly, it's a self-healing method. That means that you are in complete control and you have complete autonomy. And it's very, very economical. It's probably less than $20 to carry this out. And all you need to do is your time and energy. Now, getting back to why the liver cleansing, here's a very interesting thing. So whenever the body receives something that is considered toxic to it, the body, if it cannot process it right away, and again, the liver is the one that processes it, the body encapsulated in fat to protect you. So instead of having this thing go in the bloodstream when the liver can't process it because it's just overburdened with toxic material, it creates this ball of fat around the toxic material on the hopes that one day you'll have the time to process it. So what happens is that you rarely get the chance in your modern everyday life to process this fat that's, you know, the toxic matter in the fat. So by doing a liver cleanse is one of the few times where you actually take the time to slow down and move the sludge out of the liver so the liver can break down this other toxic material that's encapsulated in the body fat that you carry. One of the things that she says in the book, which I agree, it's that sweeping your liver clean is the most powerful way of helping your body to heal itself, you know, especially after the parasites are gone.
Sure,
and,
sure.
And one of the reasons is because there are thousands of bile ducts. You know, you have about 50,000 bile ducts, and there's trash that accumulates in these bile ducts. When they are left there forever, that's when they turn into gallstones. And again, when your medical doctor can detect a gallstone, that's when it's too far gone and you have to get surgery. What we're talking about is removing actually what you could probably call, you know, gallstones, but they're really more like plugs, you know, here's another quote from her. I was reviewing the book today, and I think it's one of the best quotes in the book. It says, "Killing parasites, removing pollutants, and clearing gallstones and kidney stones from your body is a powerful combination of treatments. It is so powerful that you can change yourself into a new person in half a year and then go on improving for years more." So let's think about this right now. So what it's saying is that no matter – I mean, we're guys who work out and we want to be more healthy. But there's people out there who have either live in pain or who have a real decreased quality of life because they're sick with something, whether it be fibromyalgia, multiple sclerosis, arthritis, you know. And what this is saying is if you dedicate yourself for 6 months to this – way of living in this type of treatment, which is again free and you do it on your own, doesn't require any doctor, you can actually become a new person. And then again, if you want to live as long as you can, as best as you can, as is my stated intent, this becomes one of the easiest ways to take control of my health, and it's my responsibility, and it's very easy to share it with others.
Definitely.
Do you have any questions, or do you want me to?
No. I think it's very good. I mean, you hit it right on the head, especially athletes. You know, we love doing what we do. I mean, you and I talked about this on the last show. If I could live to 150 healthy, I'd be more than happy. I don't want to check out of here for a long time.
Exactly.
And I think it's a very small. I wouldn't even say a price to pay. I mean, to work if you're relatively healthy and you can do a liver cleanse for 6 months, that's half a year. Look how fast the months have gone this year, at least for me they have. Absolutely. So, you know, you got to look at the things that are going to pay dividends. And like you said, you can do it all on your own.
Yeah, you can do one a month, you know.
Yeah.
Here's something interesting. I know you meant – so she has a whole section on getting rid of pain, which is why I also believe – I said that in my last interview. I think, you know, the first thing is you got to recover full mobility. And for a lot of people, you know, before we can talk about, like, you know, setting your new PR, I got to get a lot of people out of pain. You know, like, we're athletes, but, you know, most of the American population – age 40 to 60 lives with pain. I'm talking about your regular office worker, your professionals, your corporate types, your blue collar workers. They live with pain. And here's interesting. So in the book, she has this whole section on getting rid of pain and how it's usually caused by inflammation, how by clearing the liver, you decrease inflammation. And here's something that I noticed you mentioned about your knees kind of clacking, creating a clicking sound. Mine do that as well when I do my joint. There's no pain, but when I do my knee joint mobility, I'll see the couple of clacks. For 2 days after I did my liver cleanse, my knees did not clack at all.
Wow.
Today they did, but I thought it was interesting. Like, oh, so for two complete days, it was like they were just completely lubricated. It could have been from all the extra rest.
Yeah.
But and here's
– That's interesting, though.
And I thought about you because you mentioned that. She says that, and this is true, she says that pain and inflammation are closely linked, because what happens is as bacteria multiply in your tissues fight back by creating inflammation, right? It's your body protecting you. But now the stage is set for pain when you have this inflammation. So by clearing the inflammation, by doing the liver cleanses, you also get rid of the pain. She has some really great advice, which I agree mostly with. She says that old age and pain is the result of bad food choices. And she offers four pieces of advice, which I agree. The first one is to reduce red meat consumption and try to eat more fish as opposed to red meat, because it's true that red meat, you know, is more of an acidic type meat. Now, it's not that you have to give up red meat. It's that you have to modify it so you're eating the right amount of red meat that your body can process. And to me, one of the keys to that is if you're eating 80% to 70% of your diet is fruits and vegetables, you can eat a lot more red meat than if you're not. But again, for people who are sick and have pain due to inflammation, switching from red meat to fish makes the inflammation go away, which makes the pain go away. For some other people, because again, this is everybody's different. Everybody has different triggers. So for a second group of people, it's reduce grain consumption. It says you don't have to go off grains, but to reduce it to see if that takes away the inflammation. This reminds me of something that Brian Tracy said, which I believe as well. It's that to be healthy, you have to eliminate what he calls the three white poisons. So the three white poisons are white sugar, white mm-hmm. salt, and white flour. And he tells a story about him. One of his friends, you know, hadn't seen him in a while, and he's sees him a couple of months later. He's 30 pounds lighter. He says, "What did you do?" And he says, "The only thing I did was I followed your advice and I eliminated the three white poisons." You know, white sugar. The funny thing is, in a lot of anti-aging literature, they said, you know, don't eat it because you will get wrinkles. And I know some of you will say, well, you're going to live whatever you're going to live. But, you know, people are so vain, they'll stop eating it because it creates wrinkles. It has. And it's funny, they named it AGE, A-G-E, which stands for Advanced Glycation Element or something. And basically, it's what steals away that firm and tightness from your skin and creates the avenue for that crevice in your skin that becomes a wrinkle.
Well, you got to figure, Eric, too. Probably it's stripping collagen right out of you, right?
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly right. Very good. The one, and here's what's funny. I'm going to tell you what she says, and then I'm going to tell you what I think. She recommends taking vitamin D as a supplement 40,000 units twice a week. Now, again, she's a person that dealt with sick people, and that was a therapy she found helped a lot of the older people get out of pain. Now, what I've read is, you know, for guys like you and me, probably, you know, in the 5,000 daily range is probably where we want to be at. But again, 40,000 units twice a week is what she was recommending for older people or people fighting a disease or people who were in pain, you know, once as an adjunct to the liver cleansing. And the final, which I completely and wholeheartedly believe, and my wife knows I do this, is you have to eliminate all carbonated beverages.
Yeah.
The only exception I have to this is when I go to Peru and a naval officer buys me an Inca Cola, which is like the, you know, like the national soft drink of Peru. That is the only time I will drink a soft drink because, you know, it's international relations. But other than that, I only drink water. And people need to understand that the process of carbonation is so acidic that to basically get your body back to normal, you have to drink 32 times the amount of carbonated beverage in water to bring you back to zero. So what does that mean? It means that if you drink 1 ounce of soft drink, you have to drink 32 ounces of water to undo the acidic charge that will put on your body. So it takes 32 ounces of water to neutralize the acidity caused by 1 ounce of soft drink. And that is – and second of all, if you look at soft drinks, most soft drinks have – anywhere from 35 to 50 grams of sugar. I would much rather eat a chocolate bar than drink a Coca-Cola.
The only thing I ever drink that's carbonated is Martinelli's apple juice. I don't know if you've ever had that. They've been around forever. They're from California. It's not organic, but it is. I've drank it since I was a little kid, but it's hard to find. And one other thing I wanted to hit.
Is it carbonated or is it fermented?
Now I'm not sure. One of them's carbonated. The others might be fermented.
You're good to go.
I mean, it's good. But you know what else I wanted to say to you too, Eric, and maybe you're going to hit this. And I know where we are right now. But another thing that's real, real important that I hear this from people a lot when you talk the 40 to 60 year old crowd, and I'm sure you hear this all the time, and I shake my head all the time. It's called the aging process. Do you like it when they tell you that? The aging process. So at 40, basically, right, all my hair should be either gray or falling out. I should have dropped my balls to the ground, right, and sing soprano at that point. You know what I'm saying?
Did I tell you this? I think I may have mentioned this in the past call, but that's like I'm no longer calling it my pet peeve, but I call it my education point because it's funny, and this is a Chilean naval officer who was a commander, and you know, I'm 41. I mean, I was doing searcher squats today and farmers walks and
nice.
You know, and I'm gonna keep doing it. I mean, Jack LaLanne is who I look up to. As here's a guy who's 96, worked out till the last day of his life. And basically, he went to sleep in perfect health, and he just didn't wake up. But anyway, this is a theme I find repeated a lot by people after 45. Hey, I see you're working out, but yeah, I'm 40. So they go, yeah, I'm 45. But anyway, who works out when they're 60, right? You know, I used to run triathlons when I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
And I look at them and I go, well, hold on, you know, do you realize what you're saying? Yeah, it's like nobody works out when they're 60. And I go, well, what about Jack LaLanne? And they kind of look at me and they go, you know, Jack LaLanne lived to be 96, and he worked out almost every day of his life. He did not die of an illness. He did not have a condition. He worked out the day he died and basically ate his lunch and lived his day healthfully and went to sleep and just didn't wake up. And then they look at me like it is true. It is possible to have a healthy life because it's true what you're saying. There's almost like this expectation that if you're 50, you almost need a cane to walk around and stuff like that. And you know, I reject that violently in my
life. Me too, dude.
And it's something that if I have the opportunity to educate the person, I'll use the Jack LaLanne example. If it's, let's say, somebody I want to be respectful, or let's say it's an elder, or let's say it's an admiral, in my mind, I say F you. You know, you have to reject it. You cannot accept that. And it's funny because I told my wife this. If you listen to people talking, they love to impose their limits on you. And they want
absolutely
to feel their weakness. And that is – I'll give you an example. This is a real example. I'm talking to one of the trainers here at U.S. Southern Command. And these ladies that do maintenance come by with this other guy. This guy, maybe he's 60. And they were joking around, hey, can you give him the pump or like the something? And they call it the bomb. You know, like he said, you guys are talking about bombs. You know, I'm thinking IEDs. So the girl, you know, she's maybe like 50. She says, oh, it's like the penile pump.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
And I go, okay. And I go, like, why would they? You know, like, why would you want to borrow that from somebody else? But regardless. And then she looks at me and she says, and you might need that later on. And again, my thing is to reject that. I says, no, I will not. That is why I do squats, you know?
Yeah.
And I told her out front, and I really do believe that. You know, you either do squats or you just don't, and you just get fat. And then that's when people need these pumps and these adjustments. Now, if you do squats your whole life, you know, you're sending a lot of blood flow to that area. You're training not just your legs, but you're training your PC muscles.
Learn how to squeeze.
You know, that is what you're thinking. So, again.
Well, you know.
Go ahead.
And you know what else I was going to tell you? I hope I didn't forget, though. I had something good, too. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I went over it. It'll come to me.
So what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to go over some of, like, the things that, again, there's, like over 100 documented diseases that she's helped. I'm just going to hit the highlights so that you can see what people have done with liver cleansing. And when I explain it to you and you see how simple it is, it should be basically a no-brainer. There's a girl with fibromyalgia that she treated that was 36 years old.
Okay.
Again, fibromyalgia is something that is not cured by Western medicine. It can be treated, but most people have, you know, an uncomfortable and less than optimal experience. She did her first liver cleanse and got over 100 stones out and reduced her fibromyalgia attacks to only occasional. So she was in pain on a regular basis, and now it became like an occasional thing. People have been known to reduce allergies. Look what she says about alcoholism. She says, with the alcoholic, you have to clear about 2,000 stones, and when you clear 2,000 stones, the alcohol dependence starts to go away.
Oh, wow.
With arthritis, it's the same thing. Now, you do have like a fat loss or a weight loss product or course.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's going to be coming out before the end of the year.
Now, check this out. This is really interesting and how liver cleanse can be. That's what, you know, what I remember when I talked to you the first time. I said, I like the big basics that apply to everyone. Again, if you're doing CrossFit, if you're doing powerlifting, if you're doing MMA, that you can do it. And again, look at, this is very interesting. So weight problems. So she wants to differentiate between obesity and being overweight. So an obese person, let's say an obese woman, has problems with her ovaries, pancreas, and thyroid. And her experience is that if you do liver cleansing to the point where you get 3,000 stones out, and again, you know, I'm getting like 100 a shot, so that's like, what, 30 liver cleanses. So but it says after you get 3,000 stones out, you can actually address the root cause of the weight problems, and you'll actually start to heal the ovaries, the pancreas, and the thyroid. Now, check this out, though. An overweight problem, so this is different from obesity.
Yeah.
An overweight problem is a low-energy condition. And what she's saying is that food is being turned into fat instead of energy.
Yep.
And that what you do is you do the liver cleansing, and when you get 2,000 stones out of your body, you'll reset your body so that then you go back to using food for energy instead of fat. Mm-hmm. And again, it's really cool. Here's another one that I found very interesting, sleep problems. So I'm in the military, and you know, when we were flying over land Iraq, there was always that, like the mission commander's cell phone, and you could hear it when that thing went off at midnight or 1 a.m.
Yep.
We were ready to go. Did the mission change? What's going on? You know, and I think that most active duty people have problems sleeping. So I've asked my friends, and nobody that I know in the Navy sleeps 8 hours. Usually you sleep 5, and then you immediately wake up. So if I were to say, oh, I'm going to go to sleep at 7 to try to get more, I will wake up at 1 a.m. Here's something that I found does work. She says that ornithine reduces ammonia, and that by reducing the ammonia, and usually the ammonia that's generated in the brain, it induces a deeper sleep. And what I'm doing now as a result of the liver cleanse, that does provide for a deeper sleep and does allow me to stay asleep longer, is I'm taking 2 teaspoons of magnesium with 3 caps of ornithine, and I am sleeping better. Before I actually explain the liver cleanse, I will explain 4 supplements that she recommends, and I usually take these a week prior to the liver cleanse and a week after, and they're very easy. One is niacin, so I'll take 500 milligrams of niacin with my dinner. And again, you want the niacin that actually causes the skin flush. The reason I don't take it at lunch is because I get a little self-conscious that I'm in a military setting and then all of a sudden I turn red, right?
Yeah, or start itching.
Well, it's not the itching, it's just that I'll get real red and even my eyes will get a little red. So I go like, why bring undue attention to myself in a military environment? But at home, and my wife immediately notices, did you take the niacin? Yeah, because you're beet red right now. But it's good. That helps to detoxify the liver.
Yep.
The other thing that's good is cinnamon. Now, when you get cinnamon, you want to get the Ceylon cinnamon, which is the Latin name is Cinnamon Verum. The Ceylon cinnamon is the one that will actually control your blood sugar. So if you take one with breakfast, lunch, and dinner, it will prevent you from having blood sugar spikes. The third thing that I'm using is cayenne. So I'm using Nature's Way cayenne, 40,000 heat units, and that helps with circulation. So as you see, all these things help with circulation and movement. And the last one I'm taking is bilberry. Again, 500 milligrams with breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You can get all these four supplements for about $40. I like to get them at Swanson's Vitamins because I find they're like the best price and the so far the most honest, and the price is the right mix. And again, you can take this 2 weeks prior to the cleanse and then 2 weeks after to help prep your body and then to aid your body with what you're doing. And then let's actually talk about how to do the liver cleanse, which is what everybody is has been waiting for. So here's what you do. What you need to get is Epsom salts, or and then you can get like one of those gallon, like it looks like a gallon of milk a quart of milk. It's $3 to $4. So the Epsom salts are going to run you $3 to $4. You need to get organic olive oil. That will run you about $10. And you need to get, you know, 1 to 2 organic grapefruits or a bag of organic lemons. Whatever's in season is best, you know. But again, if you take one organic grapefruit, that's $2. So 3 plus 10 plus 2, so we're looking at $15 here. And you also want to use distilled water. Don't use tap water. So if you have a water filter, that's fine. But again, not the tap water, either distilled water, spring water, a clean source of water. And here's what you do. On the day of the fast, I'm sorry, on the day of the cleanse, from the time you wake up to 2 p.m., you can only drink apple juice or water. Mm-hmm. And after 2 p.m., you do not consume any more liquids except those that are dictated by the liver cleanse. Something that I want to do the next cleanse is I'm going to drink apple juice, breakfast, lunch, and dinner 1 week prior to the cleanse, because I just did it. I just basically did the apple juice thing this time, and I got, you know, like 30 more stones out. Because before, what I would do is like I said, well, to make it even tougher and for more mental discipline, I would eat or drink nothing at all.
Right.
So actually, drinking apple juice will help to loosen these stones.
Do you chew the apple juice? You know, a lot of people do that. Do you do that when you...
Sometimes.
Okay.
But honestly, for this cleanse, I did not.
Okay.
You know, and here's the next thing. Yeah. At 6 p.m., you're going to dissolve 2 tablespoons of Epsom salts in a glass of distilled water. And you want to stir it until it's uniform and drink it real fast. And this is the only like unpleasant thing. And then if you want to like rinse your mouth with water just to take the taste out, you can do it. But again, you're drinking just one glass with the Epsom salts. Now, the good thing about the Epsom salts, it does a couple of things. One, it's going to help to loosen your bowels because you have to, you know, have clean bowels so that the liver can empty into it. And two, it's actually going to relax you. And what I like about it is that you're going to feel the effects after the liver cleanse. So it's going to relax you that day, help you go to sleep. But also, it's going to be in your system for a couple of days after you end the liver cleanse, and you'll probably be more relaxed and be able to sleep better for those days
afterwards. And it's got a monster amount of magnesium in it.
It's basically it's magnesium sulfate, I think it's what really is. So it's basically pure magnesium.
I'll just give you a quick thing what I've been experimenting with for the last couple weeks, and it's working very well for my body. Is I do a mixture of Epsom salts and baking soda and drink it.
Nice.
You want to start feeling good joints and things like that? I haven't told anybody. This is the first time I even said it.
What? How much do you use, and how do you? When do you take?
What I do is, I put it both of them in hot water.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, that's off the tap. But what I do is I have a machine, a big water machine that I can run either off the sink or do it manually, and it brings it up to the point where water supposedly used to be as far as oxygen in it. So I take a tablespoon of both, mix it in the hot water, drink it down, because you don't always get all the Epsom salts out, obviously. Yeah. So you might have to do a couple drinks to have to get it down, and I immediately wash it down with 16 ounces of the pure water, and that's it. And I'm here to tell you, my joints feel – everything's feeling pretty good the last couple weeks. But I didn't want to walk over, but I thought it kind of led into, you know, what I was thinking there.
And do you do that, like, on an empty stomach in the morning?
Yeah, I do it. I do it immediately waking up. I do it about a half hour before lunch. And after we get off this podcast, I'm going to go down and have my last one for the day.
So you have it three times a day?
3 times a day. And another thing I've been doing very heavily, you want to talk about cleansing the liver, I've gotten to this organic sulfur like you wouldn't believe.
Excellent.
It's that good. The sulfur is that good where if you stay on it long enough, it's taken people and restored the pigment, the color in their hair where they've got their dark hair back to.
Now you've gave me some for my repertoire. I'm going to try the sulfur and the Epsom salt baking soda.
You want to do the sulfur separate, though. You don't want to do that, but you want to do the other two together.
Do you want to do the sulfur with food or without food?
I do everything empty stomach, Eric.
Okay, good, good.
But the thing is, you got to find the time of the day to do it, of course, and, you know, you work, I work, but you make the time. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. In fact, when we get off the air, I can even give you the website to go to if you don't have one.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love
to. Okay, well, go ahead and continue. I mean, this is real interesting stuff, man.
So I'm going to recap day one again. So from the time you wake up to 2 p.m., you eat nothing at all except apple juice or water, and after 2 p.m., you do not consume any more liquids. At 6 p.m., you're going to dissolve 2 tablespoons of Epsom salts in a glass of distilled water, and you're going to stir it until it's uniform and drink it fast, and then you can rinse your mouth out. At 8 p.m., you're going to dissolve 2 tablespoons of Epsom salts again in a glass of distilled water and drink it. And then finally, at 9:45 p.m., you're going to take 1 cup of organic olive oil in a glass, and then you're going to take that grapefruit and you're going to squeeze it into it, or squeeze some lemon so that you can basically top off the glass and stir it so it's a homogeneous mixture. Then go over to your bed and drink it right there by your bedside, and then you have to lie down with your head propped up and stay still for 20 minutes. And you may feel movement in your liver. So what is it that has happened? You basically, you know, your gallbladder produces bile, and it squeezes bile when you eat something that has fat in it. So usually in the day, you squeeze some at breakfast, you squeeze some at lunch. But now it's 9:45 p.m., and you have not had a single drop of fat in the whole day. You only had apple juice or water. And now you take 1 cup of olive oil in one fell swoop. And what happens is it basically the gallbladder just unloads everything that's in it in one fell swoop, and that's how you're able to move some of those gallstones out. And that's why the Epsom salts, which will probably make you go to the bathroom a lot, help to remove what's in the colon so that when the gallbladder dumps, it has a place to go to. So now let's go to day two. So when then you go to sleep. When you wake up the next day at 6:30 or whenever you wake up, you take 2 more tablespoons of Epsom salts in a glass of distilled water and you drink it down. And then after this point, you can drink as much water as you want. And then what's going to happen is you're going to start to go to the bathroom. And the way you can tell if it's really the gallstones is because if they're gray, yellow, or green, and they float on top of the toilet, that's when you're cleansing the liver. And the stones float because they're cholesterol, and cholesterol is fat. And fat is lighter than water. And that's why they float to the top when mixed with water. You know, your caca, your feces are going to sink to the bottom and they're going to be brownish. And again, this is where you go into that. And this is going to happen more than once, by the way. This is probably over a 3-hour period. So what I like to do is, you know, you make a mental note of how many stones went out. You know, so you go, okay, 10, okay, 28. Yep. And then at the end of this cleanse, you're going to have a number. And, you know, if you pass the 8, 80 to 100, that's pretty good. Another thing you will notice is that the you're going to probably want to rest in the afternoon, and that's because, again, what we were talking about, the magnesium in the Epsom salts is going to basically encourage you to follow your body's need for rest and sleep. And my wife and I were able to sleep a lot more than usual, and we were able to take a lot of naps. And usually I never take naps because I'm always, you know, jumping from here to there. That is basically it in a nutshell. Okay. The only thing I'm going to recommend is if you're a person that's constipated, you may want to do 1 to 3 enemas on day one at 4 p.m. so that you clear the colon. So if you're constipated, if that colon is clogged, you will not get the liver cleanse effect that you want. So again, an enema is one of those things that some people, like, you know, get all, you know, worked up about it. You know, it's no big deal. If you need to do it, do it. I've done it both with the enema and without the enema, and, you know, it's whatever needs to happen that day. But again, the goal is to have the colon be empty so that the liver can dump into it.
Right. I thought of what the word I was trying to get out before when we were talking about, you know, the quote-unquote aging process, chronological age. I don't know if I believe in that with some people. Well, you know, how many people – I've seen people that are in very good shape that are, like, say, 50 years old. If you looked at them, you'd think maybe 35, late 30s. I've seen people 35 years old that look 55.
Yep.
I mean, you know, obviously your genetics are going to play a big part in that too, but I've never been a big believer in, you know, birthdays. All right, they're nice to celebrate, but who cares, really?
You know, that you bring a really good point, because you know who you know, most people who see me in person, you know, usually guess my age 10 to 5 years younger.
Absolutely.
And I am. And, you know, I sometimes go, well, they could be saying it to be nice or something, but, you know, I'll take that at face value. But the ones I really value is my massage therapist.
Yep.
Because, again, I'm in the military. I'm 41. You know, a lot of people get beat up in the military because, you know, it's if you're in aviation, there's rough landings. If you're an airborne paratrooper, there's a lot of, like, jumping out of airplanes and, you know, the heels, the ankles, knees of all those airborne jumps, you know, that all the stuff that creates damage, and there's a lot of people with lower back pain and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
So what I really liked is, or what at least validated it for me, was when she asked me, like, what are you doing? Because your body, you know, it was, she was in very good condition.
Yeah.
And it's not what a 41-year-old body feels like from all the bodies she touches it. And I kind of, you know, I didn't, there's only 4 people in the Navy that know that I have a website and that I have books, because I just don't mention it at all in the Navy, because the Navy doesn't care. The Navy cares about my ability to do Navy-like things.
Yep.
So that's why I said, you know, it's really an honor and a privilege for me to talk to you and share what to me is my passion. Again, I love the Navy. It's how I feed my family, but this is kind of like my personally funded research, and if it's validated, it's very rewarding to me. And again, that's what, when you're able to use your body in such a way that people say, wow, you're 41, I wouldn't imagine a 41-year-old being able to move the way you do. And sometimes it's the simplest things. Like, to me, it's very easy to touch the wrists to the floor with my legs straight. And I go, this should be normal. Everybody should be able to do this every day. And it's funny, because once I was working with my wife, working out, and I had a sledgehammer. And I had one of those stronger grip sledgehammers.
Oh, those things are cool, dude.
I love it.
Can you load shot in that thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that thing's sick, man.
I love it. And the thing about it is that I like to wear gloves when I'm doing certain things. But, you know, with that that one you don't need to wear gloves. If you ever have one of these Home Depot sledgehammers with the white with the yellow plastic handle without gloves,
that's what I've got.
Your hand, you know. But it's funny because me and my wife were basically doing 100 sledgehammer swings. You know, I do 10, she do 10. I, you know, and we go back and forth until we did the 100. So when people came to us, they came to my wife and they thought she was 28. And I think part of it is because in their mind, you know, somebody who's 40 years old cannot do 100 sledgehammer swings. You know, if you're able to move that way, and I was swinging it hard, man. I was doing the Russian swing, like that's something that Bud Jeffrey shows in one of his sledgehammer DVDs. So I was doing the frontal swing, but this what he calls the Russian swing was you're doing this complete circle and you're really engaging your lateral side, you know, and it's. It's when people see you moving that way, it creates a paradigm in their mind of, well, if you move that way, you must be in this age bracket because people in this other age bracket aren't able to move in such a way. And to me, that's the biggest thing. What can you do? You know, because anybody can have plastic surgery, you know.
Oh, yeah.
What can you do? You know, and most importantly, do you have that mentality of you keep on improving? The sad thing is that a lot of people, and I think this is the traditional American thing, like you guys got guys in their 40s who romanticize either their high school football years or their college football years because that's when they were fit and they were like, you know, it. And then when they got married and got into corporate America, they packed on 30 pounds or overweight. They get winded coming up a flight of stairs. And they live in the past, which to me accelerates aging.
Aging.
So
totally.
If you live in the present, so I'm going like, man, you know, I don't know if I told you this when we were talking about, you know, Steve Maxwell was mentioning how strong do you have to be. Just, you know, not if you're a strong man, you have to be as strong as you can to win the event. But I'm saying like for like, let's say like a boxer, how strong do they have to be? And he was saying, you know, a good reference is 1 to 1.25 of your body weight in a Zercher squat. And I said, hey, let me try that. And again, you know, the first time I did it, I am very conservative, so I stayed at 185 when I thought I was going to do 225 because, you know, I warm up with 225 back squat, you know. Mm-hmm. But the first time you ever do a Zercher squat, I said, well, you know, I think 185 is where I need to stay at, you know, until I get kind of like the feeling for it right. So today I was doing Zercher squats with 245, which have already gone over the 1.0 body weight in it, and I see myself improving. And I think that people that see themselves as able to achieve a peak right now at 40 and to see themselves improving at 50 and at 60, you know, now again, the quality of the improvement may be measured differently, but the fact that you see yourself as something that's like, you know, the fine wine that improves with age is very important. If the person has already looked at their 18 years old as the peak, then they're basically fine, and they're already in decrepitude, and it's just they're just waiting for the end to happen, as opposed to living a fully vibrant life.
Well, you know what it is, Eric? I have problems with it's like, you know, people work out. It's just, you know from with Bud and all, and I've got all these friends of mine that I just like handling bigger and bigger things, and we got into this a few weeks ago on the round table we did. And everybody, I'm like, here's the question. Where do you see yourself 20 years from now? And everybody's, you know, like, well, you know, I'd like to probably doing body weight and, you know, I still want to lift and do some this and that and the other thing. And it got to me the last one and I was like, I'm going to lift as heavy as I can. I don't care if I am. And I won't be broken in half. I might not be what I was 25 years ago. But I said, here's what's going to be my biggest problem, and it's always going to be. I got a bad attitude about, like, and it's not a bad attitude, but it's an attitude with lifting it like this. I don't accept things at all, and especially if it's all BS. And the problem with me is going to be as I get older – and, you know, obviously, I know my next incarnation, I'm starting already. I'm doing a lot of bending now. And I'm going to get into breaking things. And I want to get into the old stuff, you know, the Saxon style, Otto, Arco, all these guys, man. I want to start, like, wrapping chains and snapping them, learning how to breathe properly and breaking them right on the chest. you know, things of that nature. That's going to be probably the next thing that's coming along. And it is, and if I wasn't going to Iceland again and I got some other trips planned for stones in the next 24 months, I probably would already be into it like gangbusters. But my problem's always going to be this. I don't lay down, man. And I'm gonna fight this stuff right to the very end because that's just how I am. Is there anything wrong with wanting to go out and do body weight and all that? I do it now. Yeah, but it's not what I want to do full time for the rest of my life. And just because you put a couple, like as Rocky Balboa said, you know, a couple decades doesn't mean you can't do anything anymore. You know? And that's going to always be my Achilles heel, if that's what you would call it. You know? And I love this stuff too much. I love it. I live for it. I breathe it. It's your passion, man. And how do you suddenly, you know, pull back and say, okay, this is it. Hopefully, you know, like you were saying, you know, Jack LaLanne, who you look at any of the stuff he did, his body of work, to be able to go out like that is really the ideal way, because I don't know about you. If you try to stuff me in a hospital bed, I'm going to try to check out as quick as I can.
Well, it's like, and the other thing is like, if I can, you know, you said that, what a way to go out. To me, it's like, I'm going to do everything to stay here. What if I could
exactly.
Move the going out part? And here's the interesting thing about you. I think you have just the exact right attitude, because the minute that you start making compromise, because, you know, what happens with a lot of people is, like, I'll get into body weight only because they feel they will be unable to lift, or
yeah,
because they've broken so many things. And here's my point of view. Like, and again, I told you this in my previous thing, and you said, like, right now I'm pretty comfortable staying at 315 pounds. But that's
sure.
Not a hard and fast rule. That's just what I'm doing now because, again, I got into bending for a while, and then I started getting like nerve pain in my hands.
Yep.
And I'm right now, my philosophy right now is, like, remember what I said about the key is not to bleed off any energy. So
absolutely.
The minute I feel like, well, nerve damage, stop, you know. But again,
yeah,
if I were to say, you know, hang out with Bud for 3 months, let's say I'm out of the Navy and I go visit Bud for 3 months, you know,
yep,
and can I squat 1,000 pounds, you know, and then I dedicate myself for 3 to 6 months to, well, let's see how much I can squat. And, you know, that 315 rule goes out the window. Let's say I could hang out with Dennis Rogers for 3 months. I'm going to
sure.
start bending, you know, like frying pans or whatever
yep.
it is,
yep.
you know, because I have that opportunity. Let's say I hang out with you, man. Oh shit!
Yeah.
How do I train for a strongman? And how do I go to Iceland? And you know,
I'll have you carrying that Hoosa steel stone out here, dude.
Right. So
yeah.
I think that it's awesome to have an open mind. And again, right now I'm in the Navy, and you
yeah.
know I have a you know, sometimes it's a robust travel schedule. I'm going to Peru soon. I just came back from
yep.
Washington D.C. So you know I can't be attached to. I need to have this gear, or I need to have this class. It's like I'm going to work out. And it's funny because, like, what you're saying with people, I remember I was somewhere else and somebody said, oh, it's too bad I didn't bring my kettlebells, or oh, it's too bad I didn't bring this. And I said, whoa, hold it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need any of this. What do you mean? Did you bring your car? Yeah, well, we could do car pushing. You know,
exactly.
And he says, did you bring your body? And he goes, yes. Is there a floor? Dude, we have everything we need. There should never be an excuse not to work out because you're missing a piece of gear. You know, and I do get that we sometimes have our pet lifts and stuff that we really wanted to do. Like, I love hitting the sledgehammer, and it has to be my, you know, my stronger grip sledgehammer. And I get that, and that's my idiosyncrasy. But the like you said, you know, this notion that, you know, there are no limits, and if you're going to attack something, attack it aggressively. And this whole notion about giving up or putting up that, well, you know, I kind of see that it's going to have to go down in the future, so I'm going to settle for body weight. Unacceptable. And again, I do mostly body weight, barbell, and kettlebell, you know, and I switch it. And I
yep.
think the best thing is to do 3 months of one thing, and then you change it up because it does two things. A, you're attacking it from a wholly different point, and B, it creates a lot of excitement in your body because now you get excited
oh,
about
yeah.
doing something different. So if you're doing nothing but squats and deadlifts,
and you love it, and then you start getting that point where, you know, you're starting getting that little bit of hip pain, and you go, I'm going to work on handstands for 3 months. It's like, wow, it's this totally new thing. It's fun. You're working a lot of that core stability, and you're working a lot of that hand strength, that shoulder strength, that oblique and core strength. So when you go back to barbells, you know, hey, you know, I feel great, and you attack it with greater passion. So it's always improving, and everything is open for debate with the right people. Absolutely.
Well, not only that, you know what it is. A lot of people just aren't in it for the long haul. They don't kind of get where you're coming from. You're a little bit too strong-willed, and that scares people off because they, you know, I've met people that they're supposed to be so good and they can lift this and lift that, and they're all right, but you know what? I'm not that impressed with them. You know, I wouldn't say that to them, but it's like, you got to meet this guy or this girl. I'm like, okay, you know, and I'm not the greatest in the world either. You know, there's people better than you at everything. But the point of the matter is, you know, I've lifted some big things. I plan on lifting some bigger things. And I just have a different type of attitude. I mean, people that come over here, or anybody I train, it's like I try to give you some of my, you know, some, I don't know. I guess I'll say I'll give you some of my testosterone, put it that way.
Awesome.
You know what I mean? But it's like, it's an attitude, man. Yeah. It's a friggin' attitude. It's like I said in the beginning here, we're A for aggression again tonight. There's a lot to that. And it's like, you know, I don't like all that cliche crap you'll hear because that's what it is crap. I'd rather be kind of a little quiet about it. And then, you know, once we get going, then it's like, we're going to open the floodgates to power. You know, that's how I approach everything.
I think, you know, like the most interesting thing about training people is, you know, I find that I believe in them before they believe in themselves. Because, you know, when you train somebody, you're able to quickly assess what they can and can't do. And most people sell themselves short, whether it's through fear, fear of injury, fear of work. And you can, it's like, I'll give you an example. I had a boss, and this is good when you can actually train one of your bosses. So he was the department head, and we were in Kadena in Okinawa. And you know, what I find funny is that a lot of people go to the gym and they have like this kind of deer in the headlights look, like, what should I do? And I show up with my little training log and I do it and I get out. Like, I come in with my plan. I know exactly what I'm doing. I know exactly how much I'm resting, and I know that when I'm done, I'm done and I'm out. So some people look at me like, it seems like you know what you're doing. Can I tag along with you?
Sure.
And so one of my bosses, and again, I he says that his whole thing, he wanted to get to 300 pounds. He wanted to bench press he wanted to break 300. And I looked at him and he goes like, shit, this guy's like bigger than me. I said, like, how much do you weigh? He goes, 240. He goes, shit, this should be easy for you. So what happens is, you know, a lot of the times it's like you got to do less work, you know, and recover more. So in 2 weeks, so this guy thought he was like 3 or 4 months out, or he had never done it. First of all, he'd never done it. That was his dream. So I said, all right, tell you what we're going to do. Let's, you know, kind of like do, you know, like heavy singles this week. And then the next week we did 5 sets of 12s, you know, like, so I kind of said, let's see what your one rep max is, and let's work with 70% of that next week. And let's go back to heavy singles the next week. So, you know, the heavy singles week, it almost feels like a vacation because you're doing like, I don't know, 5 to 7 reps on bench press and you're done. And then, you know, but then the next work, the work week, it's kind of, you know, shit, you know, you 70% of your one rep max, and you're trying to, your goal is to reach 5 sets of 12, but I call it the unachievable goal style of training, because basically if you can do 5 sets of 12, then you have to up the weight. It's the unachievable goal system of training. But after 2 weeks of training, we went to the next, let's see what your one rep max is now. He broke 305.
That's like, killer, man.
Business, in 2 weeks. Yeah. And basically what I did is I lowered his training volume is what I did.
Yeah, he'd been in an overtrained state for who knows how long.
Yeah, and I mean, he keeps on training with 225, you know, you know, bench press, incline press, press, dumbbell flies.
Yeah.
You said you wanted to put up 305. You know, let's work on the big basics and let's give you what you need. and let's take away what you don't.
Absolutely. That's awesome. We're all set with everything as far as with the cleanse and all that, correct?
Yes, we are.
Okay, well, why don't you give everybody your information again, Eric, and I'll give you mine, and we'll sign off.
Absolutely. Hey, guys, I wrote an article, and the article has the download for the free PDF of the book, The Cure of All Diseases. And again, my website is www.ericgutman.com. That's ericgutman. And what you'll be able to find at this website, first of all, is tons of useful blogs and articles. I believe in actually writing content in my articles. So, for example, one of my articles was Deliver Cleanse One, and it's actually telling you how to do it as opposed to trying to sell you something. Mm-hmm. However, I do conduct a lot of research, and I do write courses. So there's a couple of stuff that if you like it, if it resonates with you, and you want to have like something that you can kind of hold and study, you know, I have the Self-Reliance Manifesto as a book that you can read, and it's really – it was originally titled Listen Up, and after reading it, you know, basically Logan Christopher was handling my website at that point in time. Yep. And he told me, like, dude, it's just that nobody Googles Listen Up, right?
Right.
And then I said, okay, let me read the book again and said, what is this book really saying? It's basically talking about self-reliance. Now, the reason I chose Listen Up is everybody who's been in the military – knows that usually when you're about to give the mission brief and everybody's like talking, you hear this loud, like, listen up. And then people will, you know, kind of pay attention because they're about to get their mission brief and go on a mission, and they may go in harm's way. So that's where that came from. Okay. The other thing that I did, which was funny because, you know, like sometimes I train in a vacuum, you know, like I create courses for myself to address a need. And then I keep very detailed training journals so I can write a course. So when I first got into kettlebells, I created a course to help me and a friend of mine who was going to go for Commando Krav Maga Level 4 instructor course, which is very – you have to have a high level of conditioning just to pass the instructor course. So he was kind of like, create the training system that will give me the conditioning. And I did. And what I did was basically body weight and kettlebells. So – focusing on kettlebell circuits, and that is extreme military fitness basic. And it's great because it basically will teach you, if you've never done a kettlebell, if you've never done the bodyweight exercise, or if you haven't trained in like years, that's the course that will get you up to speed safely. And the funny thing about it is like, I'm my own guinea pig. I wanted to see if all this hype was true. And I did not run a single day in 4 months. And then I had my PRT, and I actually ran 15 seconds faster in the run than last time without running a single day in 4 months. So it does work. And then again, when I sent the kind of like the template to Bud Jeffries, he loved it. He says, like, I want to sell it. And I said, why? You know, like, you squat 1,000 pounds. Like, why would this be of interest to you? And he said, you know, Eric, if you had sent me a how to squat 1,000-pound course, I would have no need for it.
Said, right.
But this course, I would have never thought to write this course. You're a naval officer. You had to actually do this to pass Navy physical standards. And again, you know, I maxed out my push-ups and sit-ups, and I shaved 15 seconds off the run. So it's not like I really passed it. It's like I did very well on it. And, you know, that's why he wants it, because it's the course that he would have never written. That's kind of one of those things that led to my partnership with Bud Jeffries. The other thing, I was in a place, and you could probably understand this. You know, they say like, well, you know, when you work on strength, you get bigger. And when you work on conditioning, you get a little bit more shredded. And I thought, you know, why is that the case? Is there a way to get big and shredded at the same time? And I started – you know, pulled all the information I knew, I researched, and I came up with a plan. And my idea was, I'm going to do heavy double kettlebell work. So that means working with 70 to 80% of your body weight using kettlebells. I'm going to do MMA conditioning drills So that works on your conditioning and your endurance. And I created something called the mental toughness workout using a lot of sprawls and a lot of farmer's walks and mountain climbers tied together. And the basic, that's really to try out your mental toughness, because you're counting how many reps you do and how many times you walk around a basketball court without dropping the weight. And again, it's the unachievable goal, right? So if I started with 70-pound on each hand farmer's walks, and when I could walk three times around the basketball court without dropping it a single time, then I go up the weight. So that's Extreme Military Fitness Elite, which is for advanced to intermediate trainees. And then the other things that apparently, and this is the ones that really have given me more a name than those other two, is the joint mobility. Joint mobility is really the key to youthing and to recovering from any injury and to remaining injury-proof. And like I said at the last thing, I've been to anti-aging seminars where five guys will know that I have the mobility course, and they say, hey, can you run us through a quick mobility session? I'd be sure. I'd love to. So these five guys are doing this mobility with me. And again, we're talking about the anti-aging crowd in the 45 to 65 crowd. 40 people will start watching and doing it with me. So it just amazes me how it resonates with people, because, again, it's something they can do. There's no fear factor involved, and they feel awesome. And they all feel great afterwards. So, you know, a lot of them say, oh, my lower back pain went away. Oh, my knee pain went away. Oh, my neck pain went away. So it's easy to do, and there will usually be pain that goes away in 20 to 30 minutes from doing it just once. And again, you can improve the mobility to do it over time. Now, here's the funny thing. Then they said, hey, can you do – is there some kind of like light workout we can do just to keep fit? And I said, all right, let's do a slow-mo squat, because a slow-mo squat to me is 10 seconds down, 10 seconds up. Yep. It helps to build those tendons and the ligaments. And again, there's no momentum. There's no like added weight. And here's the funny thing. So the minute we stopped the mobility and I was just going over the slow-mo squat, all the other dudes sat down except for five. And I said, okay, so people will do mobility, but they won't do squats. Yet you're in an anti-aging seminar, which lets me know, like, you think you're going to buy yourself to health with some supplement or something. But, you know, at some point you're going to have to put the time. And finally, the last thing that I was researching is this whole vestibular reset. I'd heard the hype, and I go – basically, whenever I hear something, I go, is that really true? Like, really? Is that really, really true? Is this liver? Are stones really going to come out of my liver? Like, is that really true? And the only way you can decide that is to actually do it. So I heard about the vestibular reset. I learned about it first from Steve Maxwell, and then, you know, he told me everything you can do to read. There's a book called Smart Moves by Dr. Hannaford, where she used it with kids that had learning disabilities, because she's saying by reprogramming your vestibular system, you don't only reprogram your movement patterns, but you can lay down new neural tracks. You know, a lot of it has to do with the cross crawl. So every day I do some form of cross crawl. It can be as easy as doing a standing march where, you know, you kind of raise your right knee and your left arm, just doing that 36. I mean, it's that – it could be that simple. Now, in the vestibular reset course, which I call the Fountain of Youth, I cover the cross crawls. I cover exercise for boosting GH, like sprinting and hit and like bear crawls
and stuff.
And I also have a section on Sistema rolling. Now, Sistema is this Russian martial art. It's very interesting. It's different than any other martial art out there. But I remember one time I went there and they did like the warm-up was 2 hours of rolling on the ground in a very specific way. And what he said that was that this helps to integrate your whole body. You see, the funny thing about being physically fit and mobile and agile is that like I can go anywhere and basically do the warm-up and I know the art. But, you know, so for the first 2 hours of the Sistema seminar I took when I was doing the warm-up, I was doing it pretty well, and, you know, Vladimir was looking at me. But, of course, the minute they start to do actual Sistema, you know, it's clearly evident that I do not know anything about Sistema.
Right.
And that I was getting my ass kicked. But that's great. It's a learning process. But when you have the basic physical aptitudes with mobility and the Fountain of Youth course give you, you can walk into any discipline and at yep. least go through the basic warm-ups like a rock star. And again, depending on the level of difficulty of the skill you're trying to learn, you may not get it right away, but you'll definitely pick it up faster.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's okay. basically what I got.
Okay. Well, that's great. Then I'll give you our stuff and we'll sign off. This is Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. You can get a hold of us at www.fiorellobarbellco.com. Facebook, Stitcher, we're on, and we're on Stitcher and iTunes. Facebook, it's Fiorello Barbell for Facebook. Let me see now. Twitter is Fiorello Eric. You can get a hold of me at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. We got a brand new website. We've got two of them, as a matter of fact. MotivationAndMuscle.com is just about finished. Eric's got to do a few tweaks, but it's out there. It looks beautiful. And Fiorello Barbell Co. will be brand new. It's either going to be up tomorrow or Monday morning. So you got to check them out. This guy is magnificent. They look absolutely beautiful. And then we're going to have the next one, which should be done within the next few weeks. It's going to be called The Weight Loss is Over Fast. And we're working on a ton of projects here, which we're going to – they'll be out the first quarter of 15, plus a lot of other things going on. So, Eric, once again, thank you, and especially for all the knowledge you've bestowed on us tonight.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me on board.
No problem. Anytime. So, for Eric Gutman, this is Eric Fiorello. You have a great weekend, and we'll be talking to you next week. Thanks, and good night.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.